Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. Good morning. Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Jess Romero, Kyle Clements here, two-man car. Monday morning, a lot to talk about. First thing I want to do is, everybody knows about the protests happening around the country from these two groups called Black Lives Matter and Antifa. They're Marxist organizations. I want you to hear a clip. This is from a black Protestant pastor. His name is Larry Gators. And it's just a short clip. He talks about the coming destruction of Black Lives Matter. I want to get Kyle's comment on it. He basically says that the founders of Black Lives Matter, not only are they communists, we know that from the website, they're Marxists, they admit it themselves, but they're also witches. And he mentions the covens that they're part of. Then I'm going to show you another clip after by Taylor Marshall, who interviews Jordan Chell, one of his students back over in Dallas, Texas. And this young man that was at protecting a statue of St. Bonaventure in San Diego, I think 85 Catholics, they faced off against 300 Black Lives Matter and Antifa protesters, and 85 Catholics held them back. But he said that the Black Lives Matter protesters and Antifa protesters, they started doing hexes and incantations. They opened up vials, like it looked like they had blood inside, and they were sprinkling blood around. So they had their own anti-sacramentals. I want to get Kyle's take on this, because I think that Black Lives Matter and Antifa, I think it's more than just a bunch of college secular humanist kids that, you know, play with video games in the basement. I think a lot of these guys are and gals are connected with the diabolical, with the occult. But nonetheless, I want Kyle to weigh in on this after we hear the first clip from the Protestant pastor, Larry Gators. Can you play the clip, Rich?
The three founders, Brother Alex, of Black Lives Matter, they are witches. Listen, I have no sympathy for the left. I am a contract killer for the Lord Jesus Christ. My responsibility is to cut the head off of not just Antifa, that is the military arm of Black Lives Matter, but Black Lives Matter is the propaganda arm of Antifa. So you have three witches who created this terrorist organization in 2013, following the death of Trayvon Martin. Alicia Garza, she is a member of Omega Phi Beta. Patrice Cullors, she is a member also of Omega Phi Beta. And Opa Temeti, she's of Nigerian descent. She is a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha, which means they're all a part, Brother Alex, of the Black Skulls and Bones. There are nine families that control 99% of the world's wealth. So then we're talking about quickly the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the Warburgs, the Rockefellers, the John Jacob Astor dynasty, the Bilderbergs, the Habsburgs, the Sassoon family that produced Vidal Sassoon, right? And the Lee family out of Hong Kong, who is bankrolling COVID-19. So these nine Illuminati families out of the 13, Brother Alex, they represent the nine knights of the round table, according to the 1954 book by Dr. Charles H. Wesley, The History of Sigma Pi Phi, or better known as Boule.
Kyle, I want your comments. I thought that these secular humanists were just Marxist communist kids, but more and more as we're seeing information, this black pastor says he's done his homework. The self-proclaimed leaders of Black Lives Matter, they're connected with witchcraft. They're part of covens. Does this surprise you that there's a connection between the diabolical and the political?
It doesn't surprise me at all, Jesse. I think we need to look at history with a very clear eye. The Bolshevik Revolution that began communism, that Marxist Bolshevik Revolution, started with the satanic ritualistic sacrifice of five Romanov virgins and the rightful ruler of Russia. That's the way it started, very simply. It was satanic sacrifice. There were five Romanov virgins who were Catholics that were murdered and sacrificed. Child sacrifice, blood sacrifice is very, very real. I think that with regard to Black Lives Matter, the central question that's not being asked is, do all Black lives matter? Meaning, do the unborn Black matter? Are you fighting as vehemently because Margaret Sanger, one of the founders of Planned Parenthood and proponents of abortion, targeted the Black community and ethnic minorities for eugenics? To exterminate them. I think you have to look at this in the overall picture. I think he's, not only is he right, but the diabolical has to use fallen human nature. You know this from law enforcement, Jesse. There was a defense, a novel defense that was raised in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, that was called entrapment. And so you know that, you know, the virtuous man, you offer him something that he didn't earn, or you offer him an opportunity to steal something, he's not going to take it. Well, this novel defense was that you're tempting him beyond his ability. You're putting him in a position where you're prompting him to break the law. I hope you understand the analogy, because what's happening is these people are being used. Their fallen nature is being used by the diabolical. It's not diabolically inspired. We get this wrong. It's by our fallen human nature that seeks to dominate another human, that seeks power over another human, that seeks to destroy authority. And then the demon comes along and provides the tactics. But we're the ones who come up with the strategy. We're in our fallen human nature. We want to depart authority. We want to raise ourselves above others. And always it is a good or positive movement which is then corrupted. And I'll give you a classic example. I think the person that we need to be talking about most and bringing forward all the time is Dr. King, Dr. Martin King. I think you need to bring him forward all the time. Here is a man who pricked the conscience of America with a beautiful speech, "I Have a Dream." And what we heard was, we heard a young father who said, "I can't raise my family, or I want to raise my family where there's a level playing field, not where someone has an advantage, but where I want to give my children an opportunity that other children have." That pricked the conscience of America, but we've departed Dr. King's message very, very quickly. We've departed the message. Dr. King spoke to mystic moral theology. He spoke beatitude. That's not what we're hearing now. And so the Al Sharptons, the Jesse Jacksons, the Black Panthers, these groups are taking this animosity and doing exactly what Muhammad did. And he took that and fueled the hatred against the Jews and against the Catholics. And so it's an ideology built upon hatred, not on charity. And so it's a dark, dark thing, but it's a human thing. And then the demon comes along. In the same way he saw Eve looking at the fruit and says, "Hey, let's talk about this." Once you engage the demon in conversation, you've lost. The other observation is, it's not unusual at all. The political party that fosters abortion, these are Satanists, these are witches, these are sorcerers, and human sacrifice is what gives them power on the other side. Very, very simply, you're asking me from a spiritual warfare standpoint. I'm not a political scientist. I'm not a sociologist. I'm just telling you, institutionally, this is the way this warfare is waged.
Let me ask you another question. To me, it seems like all this Marxist hatred in the country with Antifa and Black Lives Matter and all the blather that they spew out and all their hatred of America, what I see here, Kyle, I see the hatred of patriotism, which is where we actually get the word for fatherhood, patria, patriotism. And I think this whole Marxist ideology, you could look at Black Lives Matter's website, they want to replace the family with the state and with alternative. To me, their goal is that they want to eradicate fatherhood and family as we understand it, And that means that authentic Catholic masculinity must go, because their language is toxic. They want to redefine the family. They want to basically militate against father and fatherhood, which ultimately is a militates against God the Father, from where all fatherhood comes from. I mean, to me, that seems like the essence of the diabolical. What say you?
Well, you're precisely right. It's to tear down those structures. It's a three-step process. In the three-step process, what first of all happens is you start to build consensus. You start to get birds of a feather flock together. And so you start to float these ideas and build consensus. And so ever so often, a radical idea is put forward, and then just to see if people are drawn to it. Then once you get people to start to draw to it, then you begin to militate against the other side. You demoralize the other side. And what the demoralization does is works on our own fallen nature and desire for pleasure. And so we're demoralized. And so with the erosion of virtue, then you're going to attack the structures through which man has relationship with God. And I think this is a key point. You attack the structures through which man has relationship with God. What are those structures? They are church and family. So how do you attack both of those? The patriarchal structure. Bella Dodd and others talked about a very concerted effort.
Carl, I hear the music. Hold on. Hold that thought. We'll come back. Jesus 911, Jess Romero, Kyle Clement, talking about witchcraft and the diabolical within Black Lives Matter and Antifa. We'll be right back. Don't change that dial. Jesus 911.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us, by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess and Kyle. Did you know that witches run Black Lives Matter? And also, I would say that Satanists also run Black Lives Matter and Antifa. I got Kyle Clement here. He's our SWAT expert, spiritual weapons and tactics for a Catholic spiritual warfare. Instructor from Liber Christo Institute. He teaches right alongside Father Chad Ripperger. He's nationally known, one of the foremost experts on Catholic spiritual warfare in the country. And I'm honored to have him here a couple times a week. I want to play a clip, and I want to get Kyle's take on it. There's a Catholic by the name of Jordan Chell who was defending a statue over in San Diego from Black Lives Matter and Antifa, and he talks about the occultic things that they were doing right in his presence, which shows the fact that there is a complete diabolical component to both these organizations. Mr. Engineer, can you play the first clip?
June 20th, a day later, a small group of local Catholics, along with Father Tom Elowitt in Ventura, the pastor of San Buenaventura Mission, protected the statue from a group of protesters, BLM, Antifa types, again, wanting to tear it down. So this was June 20th. And this was also the same day that the Sarah statue was toppled and torn down in L.A. upon its toppling, an altar from these Chumash Native American tribes was set up on the pedestal with flowers, grapes, and dragon fruit. And then I was looking up, okay, so why dragon fruit, right? So I went on some, this is starmagicalhealing.com, in case anyone wants to look it up. Dragon fruit teaches you that you can be a fierce protector and simultaneously be gentle and caring. Dragon fruit teaches you to invigorate the inner warrior, go after your dreams, and fight for what you believe is right. It also teaches you to have faith in a higher power. Your destiny is inevitable. What is meant to be will be. So it's, you know.
Yeah, sera, sera. That's crazy. Garbage. So you're saying that now which site of the Sarah toppling is where they put this altar?
So in L.A., I'll read you a quote here from Joel Garcia, a witness who helped author the statement on behalf of the Tataviam and Tongva tribal nations.
Okay.
He said, no police intervened as this was a ceremony. Quote, we had some elders share songs at the start, and we collectively built an altar following the removal of the statue. Children were seen sitting on the statue after it fell, and a collection of grapes, dragon fruit, and flowers were placed on the pedestal where it had been installed. Singing, etc., follows all of that.
Kyle, I want your comments there. This protesters set up an altar in front of the statue over of San Juan Buenaventura in Ventura, I think in front of the statue of one of the Catholic saints there. And they put dragon food there, and they did all kinds of other rituals. Does that demonstrate that this is more than political? These people are calling on diabolical powers. Is this a stretch to think like this?
Well, not only, I don't think it's near the stretch that you may think it is. Just to address a technical issue, I'm not hearing the clips that are being played. I'm having to listen to that on my phone, so it got a little feedback.
Oh.
I'm not hearing those clips unless I access them on my phone, so however we need to address that. I did hear this one, but back to your observation. Would you entertain with me the following discussion? Do we first see modern politics or politics in the current form? Do we first see them in the Roman Empire, where we've got a Senate, where we've got constituencies, where there is popular voice, popular rule? Is this the first departure we see from pure monarchy? Is that arguably a true statement?
No, I think we've seen this. We've seen this in the past. I mean, this is history repeating itself, I think.
Now, my point is that we first see it in the Roman Empire.
Okay.
And yes, history is repeating itself. But what happens is in the Roman Empire, we get a hybrid. We've got a republic. We've got a Senate. We've got things that look like a republic. Yet at the same time, we've got a Caesar. And so you get this same thing when you get a queen in parliament or a king in parliament. And so you get this voice of the people, so to speak. And so power is now accessible by those that are not of noble birth. Now, that's a hard thing for some people to hear. There was a time when altar and crown was united, when kings were coronated by popes, and the church and the state were one in ideology, not one in being, if that makes sense, not one in entity. Because the king understood that he had souls in his care. He had a spiritual responsibility as well as a temporal responsibility for the souls in his care. And so this was what the concept of Christendom was built upon. And then you get this fracturing of altar and crown. This is the Masonic mantra, all against altar and crown. And so there was this separation of church and state. We see it in the French Revolution. We see it in the American Revolution. We see it in the Bolshevik Revolution. We see it in the Mexican Revolution. This is Freemasonry systematically separating church and state. Why do they do this? They do this so that it can be reunited to where state is church. One world government is, and Lucifer is the deity, so to speak. And so there's that three-part movement that we were talking about. So politics arguably is, because of the power, because of the way in which politics modernly is practiced, then you've got an open door to the diabolical. And most politicians are there because some kind of deal or capitulation or arrangement is made to those forces that supply the power. If all you have to do is look at abortion in this country, it is the sacrament of the left. It is the sacrifice, the visceral response to anytime you challenge abortion. The visceral inordinate response is a pretty good indicator that it's diabolically fueled. And so there, the exchange is for those who promote abortion, for those who allow it, for those, then they gain certain power and prestige on the other side. For those who militate against the constructs of family, of government, then they, of right governance, governance meaning that which our, when you call Jesus Christ is Lord, that statement is absolute kryptonite to Lucifer because he wants to be Lord. And so I hope that gives you an idea that, you know, really and truly, bottom line is if a Catholic priest advocates social justice or corporal works of mercy over spiritual works of mercy, he needs to be admonished by his bishop. If you're saying there's more than one issue, then this leads us out into a shadow land where we are very, very vulnerable. Right to life, or the obligation to protect life, is the central issue in this country. Catholics, if you vote for a party that promotes abortion, you need to be doing public penance, bottom line, because you're opening yourself up, as well as your family and your parish, to the diabolical.
Wow, that's a powerful statement. I'm glad you said that. So what here? So in case there's naysayers out there, why would voting for a pro-abortion politician, why would that open you up to the diabolical? Give me the theology behind that for those naysayers that are listening right now.
Okay, here's the cowboy theology, and then you can have somebody like Dan Schneider come in and clean it up, but here's the cowboy theology.
I like the cowboy better.
Yeah, when the boss man tells you something straight up, you better do it. The boss man in this case, the patron of the universe, is God Almighty. And so in Genesis 2, when he says, I will bless you, blessed are you, go forth and multiply. That's the first thing he says. And so what he's saying is, you are in right relationship with me when you procreate. When you don't, you're off the reservation. You're not in right relationship. Anything that militates against that procreation relationship is a direct affront to God. Very, very simple. Yeah. God is simple. Theology is simple. His will is simple. It's union between creator and creature, and that union is manifest through procreation. If you do anything against that, then by definition, you're not in right relationship with God. End of story. There's no you know, as Ricky Ricardo would say, there's no splaining this. There's no way out of this. It's just.
That was very simple. Even, a fourth grader could understand that analogy. Kyle, we'll play the clip since you weren't able to hear it in your speakers, but I'll just tell you what was going on over in Ventura County. About 250, 300 Black Lives Antifa people surrounded about 80 Catholics. The Antifa Black Lives Matter people took out these vials with red stuff. The Catholics say it looked like blood. And they were dousing it around them as the Catholics stood in front of the statue. And then they were praying in foreign languages. They were praying in languages that they couldn't understand, the Catholics. And they're kind of walking in circles. And they formed a triangle. And they were walking around this triangle and speaking in these gibberish languages. Sometimes they spoke in English. And the Catholics say that they were actually like doing hexes and curses. Again, my question to you, is that surprising that there's a satanic component to Black Lives Matter and Antifa?
No, it's absolutely not surprising at all. It is absolutely not surprising at all. And I think that, you know, we have to go to John's apocalypse. Very simply, we're militating toward the end times where the diabolical is in plain sight. This is the battle between the children of light and dark. This is the battle between the good and evil. And the middle ground is falling away. The middle ground, Jesus himself said, I come with a sword, not to unite, but to divide, to force you to decide my Father or the other way. And those are the only two choices. St. Thomas would say, tertium non detur. You will either yield to the authority of God and subject yourself to his authority, or you will militate against it. And that's exactly what's happening here. When you look at political parties who are against the status quo, they don't care what the status quo is, they're against it. And they have cute little phrases like change is good. Change for the sake of change is idiocy. If something's not broken, don't fix it. Don't try to break it just so you say you need to fix it. But if we can't look at the last 50 years in politics and in this country and clearly identify how the division between good and evil is.
Well, we'll be back. We got the music playing Jesus 911, Kyle Clement, Jess Romero, talking about all things spiritual warfare. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing at least and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. Saint Cyprian of Carthage once said, "You cannot have God as your father if you do not have the church as your mother." And the fact that that's why we as Catholics, we have to evangelize, because there's so many people, as you just watch television, so many people that are lost in this maze of confusion called secular humanism, moral relativism, Marxism, and they need the church as their mother, and they need God as their father. Kyle, I want to just move on to another short topic. I read an article over the weekend about, it was called Strangest Things, A Bedeviled Road. And it talks about this one road. It was called, once upon a time, it was called Route 666. It was a road that went into New Mexico, from Arizona to New Mexico and several other states. So this is kind of a lighthearted topic. As a Catholic, you know, if you were a mayor or you lived in your city council or something, if a road, a highway was called 666, would you recommend that the council, the mayor, the governor change the number of that road for any other number? Or is that just mere superstition if a Catholic would, or are we just thinking too much about this? Because apparently this happened. They changed that U.S. Highway 666. Now it's Highway 191 here in Arizona. In New Mexico, it's Highway 66. I guess there was a big outcry. So is that a bunch of hay, or, you know, a bunch of are we reading too much into it?
It's an interesting topic, and I think it's one that speaks more to psychology than it does to spirituality. I've been in tall buildings where you get in the elevator and there's no 13th floor. You know, it actually skips from 12 to 14. And so it's interesting. I think that anything that can fuel superstition, anything that fuels that, distracts us from our focus on God and our trust in God.
That makes sense.
He that is in us is greater than he that is without. The creator is always greater than the creature. I've traveled that road quite a bit when it was 666. It's a very torturous road. At 451 in New Mexico, it goes through some very, very rough country. A lot of ups and downs, a lot of curves, and you are literally in the middle of nowhere. You're on the south part of the Four Corners. Got Navajo Nation. You're driving through part of that. It's just extremely desolate. And it's a lot like the Bermuda Triangle with regard to traffic and volatile weather conditions. And so there's all kinds of reasons why the accident rate may be higher. You guys know in Phoenix, and you knew when you were a cop, you know that there are certain intersections and certain stretches of road that just because of all the factors, it's more accident prone to happen there. There are more accidents there. You know, roads have places called Dead Man's Curve, you know, things like that. And so I think that anytime you look at that and we look towards superstition, then it distracts us from God the Father. That's the only use of it by the adversary.
So let me ask you a question. We know that, you know, in Catholicism that houses can be infested and toys and stuff. But have you ever heard of roads or small towns infested with demons? I know people, you know, secular people generally call them ghost towns. So have you heard of a road being infested with diabolical or small towns?
Yeah. There's quite a bit of this that it's very actual. And it's not necessarily a small town. I will tell you that the oppression that sits over Detroit, Michigan is a very diabolical presence. There's a darkness. There's a palpable darkness there. And you go to various places because you got to remember that the angelic, there's a class of angels, the principalities and the virtues, which are territorial. They're charged with protecting areas and territories. And so one third of those angels fell. And then if glory is given to them, sacrifice is offered to them, then the diabolical flock to those places. You look at statistics. There are small towns which have abnormally high suicide rates, or small towns which have abnormally high infidelities. And so, yeah, spirits flock to human depravity and human sin. And so if a town is sinful, particularly sinful, then there's quite a bit of diabolical activity. So, yeah, there's definitely a spiritual atmosphere, a spiritual milieu, if you will, in areas in the same way that a positive spiritual patina builds up. If you're wanting to experience a positive spiritual patina built up over the ages, then you're looking at St. Peter's, at the Basilica. You're looking at Ars, the small church where St. John Vianney was the pastor. You're looking at Lourdes. You're looking at all of these pilgrimage sites which a positive spiritual patina has built up over the years. Then you've got open war grounds, or open portals, if you will, where there is a constant battle going on. And this is Medjugorje, or these areas where the diabolical and the angelic are in open warfare. And so, yeah, places can be infested. Spirits can be anchored to locations through various rites and rituals. The Muslims have an interesting, the Mohammedans, the Saracens have an interesting understanding of the diabolical. The old idea that genie in a bottle, you remember all these, we've had all of these cartoons and everything else. That's a very, very real concept for the Saracen. And that is that you could trap a spirit in an object through an incantation, through a greater sorcery. We've had, there was a group, a spate, if you will, or a series of, in Massachusetts about 10 years ago, there were a group of Satanists who were using the Goetia, the Lesser Key of Solomon, to conjure a demon, and using what was called an anchor stone. And then that stone with those inscriptions was placed in a garden of a church. And so you had these spirits that were anchored to that stone. This is nothing but a counterfeit of relics, of sacramentals, of patron saints. And so it's in the same way that the witches you were talking about were sprinkling the blood and doing the prayers and the incantations. It's a counterfeit of the use of sacramentals, of pilgrimage, of cenacle, of common community prayer. It's a counterfeit of all of those things. And so that's where they get those. If you can look through it and you can see what's actually being done, you get a pretty clear picture.
Kyle, I've heard Father Ripperger say that every city has a basically a demon, also an angel. And I heard him say, he said it several times to me, that Los Angeles has the demon assigned to Los Angeles called the demon of unreality. And that makes sense because that's a Hollywood cap. That's the media capital of the world. I can just imagine, I mean, Chicago, every single weekend there are, I mean, from 30 to 80 shootings every single weekend. I could just imagine what type of violent demons are assigned to Chicago. Let me go on to another question. What does Catholic tradition have to say about UFOs, in a nutshell, in a summary response? What would you say?
Well, it doesn't. What it says simply is that it doesn't address UFOs because all flying objects are identified.
Okay. UFOs, right, makes sense.
Unidentified flying object. So for the Catholic, all objects are identified. They're either man-made or they're God-made. And so real simple. And if you can't recognize it as being creature of God, a bird, something that is naturally there, then it's something mechanical. If it's mechanical, then it is a creation or a a manufacture of another by a creature, not by God. So it's either God-made or man-made. The demons are all over this area, and so what you see is demons will masquerade. They will project to you disbelief in God, disorientation, and they will come in the form that you want them to appear in. What does that mean? It means that they can't place an image in your head. They can corrupt an image that's already there. So if you watch horror movies or other things that militate against the integrity of the flesh, against the dignity of the human person, your nightmares, if they're diabolically influenced, will use your own stock imagery and then deform that image. There is a whole group of, quote, possessions by the diabolical who identify themselves as grays, and exorcists buy into that. And where we find this, and this really kind of eases us over into another topic, the topic of demonology, the use of seers and sensitives and mystics, this is rife with this notion of grays or of extraterrestrials. These are demons straight up. And they're just coming in a new disguise, in a modern disguise. That's been our experience anyway. They will foster memories or conversation of abductions, of various things being done to people's bodies, these things. But ultimately, when the imaging is done, when all of the investigation is done, it ends up being either a primarily psychological issues, again, an unreality. There's an alternate reality that the person is entertaining. And the spirits very much want to foster this unreality, this departure from reality, because it departs you from God. God is reality. God is what is real. And so any way they can distract or pull you away from that. But I really want to speak pretty strongly with regard to deliverance ministry and spiritual warfare. The use of seers, the use of mystics, the use of people, lay people directing the exorcist, this is not Catholic practice. This is not the Catholic norm. And it should not be and have a place. The idea of demonology, the idea that we're going to have a whole developed study, the idea that we're going to name Periti in this field, this is not traditional Catholicism. And I'll also point out that the use of Peritus or Periti is a Second Vatican Council construct. More on that after the break.
Yep, we'll be right back. Jesus 911, good stuff. Two-man car, we'll be right back.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911 Soul Patrol. Want to move on to spiritual warfare, Catholic style. You know, Kyle, because there's been a lack of direction, I think, other than when Liber Christi was the first, I think, institute that's starting to give lay people some very clear direction on the 2,000-year-old practice of Catholic spiritual warfare. And I think a lot of people have fallen victim to modernism, to liberalism, to Protestantism. I say there was a couple by the name of Ed and Lorraine Warren, very well known. I read one of their books about it was called The Demonologist. And apparently they've been doing spiritual warfare deliverance for decades in the East Coast. And as I read the book years ago, it would say, yeah, we call mystics and we call psychics. And I'm saying, what? And say, yeah, we pray the rosary. And then I could see that they weren't well formed. Now there's a new wave of people like this. There's another couple by the name of Kenneth Deal and his wife, Carol Deal. He just passed away a year ago, so I'm not, I don't want to talk about somebody who's passed away. May he rest in peace. I hope he found God's mercy. But again, they were also kind of like the new Lorraine and Ed Warren. They came up with their own little book and packet of how to do deliverance. In fact, it's called Catholic Demonologist, which is called Haunting Self-Help Guide. That kind of throws red flags out there, Catholic demonologist, because the word demonologist isn't used in Catholic circles in the last 2,000 years, from what I understand. I mean, we have angelology, an angelologist. I know one of the great angelologists, Father William Wagner, from Opus Angelorum. But he doesn't call himself a demonologist. So you have lay Catholics now that are starting to use this term. This guy who just passed away, he wrote, I guess, several books on Catholic demonology, Haunting Self-Help Guide. So my question to you is, I think this is what we would call the modernist in Protestant infiltration into the Catholic Church, where you have lay Catholics that want to help people, because I'm sure the Warrens and the Deals, I'm sure these couples really want to do the right thing. They're probably, who knows, they're probably personally very holy people. But the fact is, with their deliverance models, which are based on a Protestant model, I think it's doing more harm than good, because they use, at least the Warrens did, they use psychics. And I think the Deals also, they admit that they used to use paranormal investigators before that, and they said they had a kind of a reconversion back to their faith. But talk about this deliverance model that we hear. It's called Christian Demonologist Workbook and Study Guide Unbound. So many models out there that are not entirely rooted in Catholic tradition.
Well, you're exactly right, Jesse, and I'll put up a shameless plug for Liber Christi here. www.liberchristo.org, exhaust the free site, and then register for the conference, because this takes you back to the norms. One of the programs we got is trademarked Freedom Through Christ, and it addresses the understanding that you have to identify impediments to grace, cure those impediments to grace. It's how to be Catholic. The focus, when you talk about demonology and the modern focus, yeah, it's on the demon, because that's what the demon wants. It's to distract from God. The focus is either on the human or on the demon, not on God. And so this idea that there's an expert, a paridi, a paridus in demonology, that's like me saying, well, there's an expert in vice. Hadn't you rather talk about an expert in virtue and everything else is vice?
Makes sense. That's, yeah, of course. Makes sense.
Even the term paridi or paridus, we don't see that used until the Second Vatican Council. And you got to remember that the nefarious context in which the term paridi or paridus expert was used is the Council Fathers named dubious theologians who had no qualifications as paridi or as experts. And so you got to look back at the word. You got to look back to first principles. You got to go back and say, where does this kind of thing start coming in? And it's through the relativism and modernism of the Second Vatican Council. And in that whole council, what happened was there was a shift from the focus from God to the people. And so it became not a church to give worship to God, not a vehicle for the sacraments, but it became a vehicle for social justice, for compassion, for emotional consolation. And so the focus shifted, began to shift from creator to creature. And so that is what is happening with paranormal. All of this stuff is focusing on an extraordinary phenomenon that ultimately God is allowing. The demon does absolutely nothing that God does not allow. They are the most regulated creature in the universe. They would have you think that they are autonomous. They come and go where they want. They do what they will. Not so. They are closely, very, very closely regulated. The human will has more freedom if it is free to choose the good than any other creature. The demon is bound by his choice, by his apostate choice. And I think that that's one of the things to point out and kind of bring full circle is that Black Lives Matter, those people who are demonstrating are more enslaved than the ancient slaves that they were bemoaning and that they were lamenting and putting forward. Because the ancient slaves were physically bound, they were shackled. But their minds and their intellects were not bound. In Black Lives Matter, these people who are these Marxists and communists, their intellect and will is absolutely shackled by the fallen ideology that they ascribe to, and it's almost impossible for them to escape. You can't break them out. You could liberate a slave that is shackled by breaking the shackles. You can break the bonds and he's liberated. But here, the bonds are self-imposed. It is as if they are in a dank, dark, intellectual prison, and they hold the key. They hold the key. And so they damn themselves. They cut themselves off from grace. I think that that is one of the biggest issues that we're missing, is that this is a form of slavery. It's a form of psychological slavery, and they're being used. Malcolm X actually gave a great speech in which he talked about, it was amazing. He was saying the liberal American, he was speaking to Black people. He said, the liberal American will use you to foster their own ends. They will use you to subject your people, to subject the Black people for political gain. And he was exactly right. That's exactly what we're seeing. And so you have to look at the reality of man's inhumanity to man. If we're going to focus on that, if we're going to focus on sin, if we're going to focus on what someone did to me, if we're going to focus on the fallen angelic, then we're missing the great beatific vision, what little bit of it we could see from here on earth. And so just the idea of demonology, any of that that gives place to the other side, any of that that psychic, mystical, sensitive idea that I have to have this thing to able to solve this problem, takes us away from God and strict Catholicism. I will tell you, Jesse, that there are exorcists in this country who employ seers, psychics. They believe in reincarnation. They use hypnosis. And we deal with the fallout from that. And so what they're doing is that What the demonologist says essentially is the ends justifies the means. You do whatever is necessary to rid this person of the demon. Well, we know that's against one of the basic foundational tenets of the Catholic faith. The ends cannot justify the means.
Kyle, let me ask you a quick question. Does Catholic tradition recognize that maybe Jews or Muslims, can they effectively rebuke evil spirits? Let's take Protestants, yes, no. Jews, yes, no. Muslims, yes, no, because I know there's gradations of error.
Okay, here's the way it works. And so let's start, first of all, with Jews, because Jews were practicing this before Jesus comes along. Jesus perfects the ministry because he's the incarnation of God. But the way Jews practiced exorcism before this was they used sacramentals, meaning things that meant things, such as prayer shawls, such as phylacteries, such as sacred vessels. And so they would put the person who was being afflicted. One of the practices was to heap a mound of prayer shawls that had been prayed. So again, we're using a sacramental, something with a spiritual patina. Incidentally, the prayer shawl worn by the devout Jew has 10 tassels, one for each of the Decalogue, one for each of the 10 commandments. And so they would subject them to these sacred objects. They would also subject them to scrolls. They would hold a scroll of sacred scripture up in the presence, and the demon would react to it. And so this is how exorcism was practiced. Then we've got Sons of Sceva, scripturally, where these are itinerant or traveling Jewish exorcists who now have a new weapon, the name of Jesus. And so if you remember from scripture, they use the name of Jesus. The demon shows up and says, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, who are you? And he strips them naked and beats them. You remember this story from scripture? Sons of Sceva, Jewish exorcist who had a new weapon, the name of Jesus. And so that's the way it was practiced in Judaism. It's still practiced that way, where sacred scripture and sacred things are the energumen, or a possessed person is exposed over a period of time. Victories of God over the demon and those who oppose God's people, those are talked about, and then the demon is left. Once the person's will is, I want to be reconciled with God, I no longer want to be away from God, and then the exorcism augments the will. Protestants, again, holy name of Jesus. Anyone can intone the holy name of Jesus, but because they do not have the fullness of the church, they will not and cannot exorcise demons that are ritualistically and institutionally present to the person. That's why they refer them to the Catholics. They can get rid of oppression and obsession, but not possession.
Okay, we'll have to pick this up next time, Kyle. Good stuff. Wow. My head is exploding. Jesus 911. Jess Romero, Kyle Clement. Mondays. Hey, up next, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics. Thanks a lot, Kyle, our SWAT expert, spiritual weapons and tactics. Every Monday and Wednesday here on Jesus 911. And on Wednesdays, Liberation, Liberal Cristo War Caller Situation Room. See you next time, same Christ channel. Up next, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics. God bless you. Keep the faith.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O Divine and Great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio. sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.